Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
What economists say about where growth, inflation, and interest rates are headed.
We finally reached a point where not only do they not anticipate a recession, most of them, but they don't think it'll even get too close.
And Boeing's quality issues take center stage at a congressional hearing. Plus, House Speaker Mike Johnson pushes ahead with a high-stakes vote on a foreign aid package. It's Wednesday, April 17th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. If you're a regular What's News listener, you know we spend a lot of time tracking economic growth, inflation, and the level of future interest rates. The Wall Street Journal's latest quarterly survey of 69 business and academic economists shows they've ratcheted up their expectations in all of those categories. A potential caveat, though, these folks were surveyed just before the March inflation data, showing a third consecutive month of hotter-than-expected inflation. Let's get into the details with our markets and economics reporter, Sam Goldfarb. Welcome back, Sam.
Thanks.
So, Sam, on last night's show, we talked about the International Monetary Fund, or IMF. Their latest report found the global economy picking up steam, largely due to the U.S. So how did the economists that we surveyed view the prospects for U.S. economic growth in the months ahead?
Yeah, they're pretty optimistic, more optimistic than they've been in a while. It's been a steady process, though. We do this every quarter, and they've gotten a little bit more optimistic each quarter. And we finally reached a point where not only do they not anticipate a recession, most of them, but they don't think it'll even get too close. For a while, all these forecasts, at least the average was for growth under 1% for a quarter or two or three. Now, the lowest growth quarter that they're anticipating is about like 1.5%, which is not too bad.
Let's talk about the labor market. That's been a strong point for the economy, especially during the Federal Reserve's rate hike campaign. Do economists see that continuing, or are they seeing any evidence of a slowdown?
Yeah, it's sort of like all these forecasts kind of rhyme. So their forecast for the labor market sort of does go hand in hand with their growth forecast. They do expect the economy to start adding fewer jobs than it has recently. Those have really outpaced expectations, if only because they feel like, you know, all the available workers have been hired already. So there's a sort of a distinction between, will monthly job growth slow down just because of that, you know, relatively benign reason, or do they actually expect businesses to start, you know, laying off workers? They do expect a little bit more weakness than what we've had, but again, their expected weakness is less than it has been in the past. They're more optimistic than they were before.
Got it. Let's get to the big one we've been talking about certainly a lot, inflation. Again, this survey was conducted before the March inflation data, but where did economists see price pressures going?
They expect it to come down, but they don't expect it to come down quite as much as they had 3 months earlier. They expect the measure that the Fed pays probably the closest attention to end the year at 2.5%. The Fed targets 2%, so that's not quite where the Fed wants to be. And previously, they had expected 2.3%, so it's edged up a little bit more. And as you noted, that was before recent hotter-than-expected inflation data. So if you'd pulled them now, maybe it would nudge up even a tiny bit more than that. But they do still expect it to be like heading in the right direction and sort of to get to the Fed's target by the end of next year.
How much weight should we give these forecasts, especially as we both noted that these were prior to the March inflation data?
The inflation data, I don't think should make too much of a difference. Like directionally, even before that data, the economists were expecting, you know, maybe a little bit more inflation. You can definitely get cynical about these things and say, hey, these economists aren't 100% correct all the time. Why should we care? They're not maybe as wrong as you might think. You know, they for a long time predicted that inflation would come down quite a lot. And inflation was like sticking at a very high level for a while, and it made the economists maybe look silly, but then it started to come down quite a lot, just as they had predicted. So that's kind of an example of how economists have gotten things right. They have consistently underestimated the economy over the past year and a half, but you can kind of understand why. And they don't have a crystal ball. They're saying what is likely to happen, and the fact that the economy has outpaced their forecast just shows how surprisingly strong the economy has been.
That's Wall Street Journal markets and economics reporter Sam Goldfarb. Coming up, another Boeing whistleblower comes forward. More on today's congressional hearing after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
House Speaker Mike Johnson is pushing ahead with a high-stakes vote on aid to overseas allies, despite criticism from conservatives. Johnson's plan envisions four bills, one each for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, and a fourth one containing many Republican priorities, including a ban or forced sale of TikTok in the U.S. Three of those bills were posted by House Republican leaders this afternoon. A final vote's expected on Saturday, setting up an unpredictable weekend that could determine the fate of the foreign aid package and of Johnson's political career. Conservatives are demanding border provisions in exchange for their support, while Democrats are holding their cards close and preparing a backup plan if needed to force aid through. Columbia University President Namat Minush Shafiq told a congressional committee the school was not prepared for the firestorm stemming from Hamas's attack on Israel last fall, which has led to protests, instances of anti-Semitism, and claims by Jewish students that they feel unsafe on campus. She also said that the school is doing everything it can to confront anti-Semitism on campus while trying to balance the free speech rights of students. Demonstrations against Israel and the war in Gaza have escalated at universities across the U.S. Today's hearing came 4 months after heated exchanges before the same House committee prompted the resignations of then-Harvard President Claudine Gay and then-University of Pennsylvania President Elizabeth McGill. The impeachment trial of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has ended after a few hours, with the Democratic-controlled Senate quickly rejecting the charges brought by the Republican-led House related to his handling of border policy. One article of impeachment alleged Mayorkas willfully refused to comply with federal immigration laws. The second alleged a breach of public trust, saying Mayorkas made false statements about the state of the border. Mayorkas has called the allegations false and defended his record. Boeing's quality issues are in the spotlight again as a growing number of former employees come forward with concerns about its manufacturing process. The plane maker is also facing criticism for shortcomings in its quality control in the wake of a mid-air blowout of a door plug on an Alaska Airlines flight in January. One whistleblower testified, and the written testimony of another was part of a congressional hearing on the matter today. Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal aerospace reporter Sharon Turlip. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi. Glad to be here.
So, Sharon, bring us up to speed. What are whistleblowers saying?
Yeah, the focus today was on Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, whereas we've been hearing a lot about the smaller 737 that was involved in the door plug blowout. This is the larger airplane. One whistleblower spoke today and said he felt that the company cut corners in addressing some issues with the 787. And then another whistleblower wrote in, this was a former quality manager who said he felt like there was a culture in Boeing that discouraged speaking up about problems.
What were the major lines of inquiry from lawmakers?
Yeah, lawmakers, they asked both technical questions. So they wanted to hear technically what the concerns were with the planes. And then there was a lot of questions around culture and what does Boeing do to encourage or discourage reporting of problems? What's it like at Boeing when you speak up about problems, accountability, that kind of thing?
Of course, this is all taking place as Boeing has been under a lot of pressure and quite frankly, doing damage control in the wake of these incidents.
Yeah, Boeing obviously takes these concerns very seriously. They're under a lot of pressure from investors, from airlines, from regulators, from politicians. And so they have come out with very extensive responses. They actually had an hours-long session with the media, including us on Monday, to talk about everything they're doing on their 787. They're putting out statements. They're responding to really each thing as it comes in.
How have they responded specifically to the whistleblowers' claims?
They've responded with very dense technical descriptions of why they feel that their planes are safe. So they're trying to really reassure the flying public, the airlines. But they're also trying to, it would seem, come off as not personal and not attacking. You know, when they had this session on the 787, for instance, they didn't name or discuss directly the whistleblower who came out. So it's a line that they're walking right now.
That's Wall Street Journal aerospace reporter Sharon Turlip. Tesla's board asked shareholders to vote again in favor of its CEO Elon Musk's multi-billion dollar pay package. The board had approved the proposal several years ago, but a Delaware court struck it down in January, calling the approval process deeply flawed. In a proxy filing today, the board said it still stands behind the pay package shareholders previously approved, valued at a maximum of $55.8 billion. It isn't clear, though, whether re-proposing the same pay package with additional information will satisfy concerns about the approval process, as stated by the Delaware court and the shareholders that supported the lawsuit. The board is also asking shareholders to move Tesla's incorporation out of Delaware and to Texas, where the company has its headquarters. The annual shareholders meeting will take place in June. And paleontologists have discovered the biggest marine reptile ever found. Fragments of two massive jawbones belonging to a predator that was twice the length of a city bus were unearthed near the coastline in the UK's southwest. Though reptilian, the ichthyosaurs, or sea dragons, were air-breathing animals similar to today's dolphins, though clearly much larger. They coexisted with dinosaurs between 250 million and 200 million years ago, before going extinct. The study by a group of UK researchers was published today in the journal PLOS ONE. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.